The successful tender to build Australia's $3.5 billion offshore patrol vessels was announced today as German company Lürssen. They will be built in yards in South Australia and Western Australia. The project is part of $150 billion that will be spent on defence over the forward estimates, as set in this year's budget. Maurice Payne is the Defence Minister, and I spoke to her a short time ago. Maurice Payne is the Defence Minister and joins us now. Maurice Payne, welcome.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
How much extra will this project cost being built in Australia rather than in Germany where the company is based?
Well, we've been very clear about this process, Patricia. We set out our plans indeed for the offshore patrol vessels tender in April of last year when we announced in a press conference with the Prime Minister and myself that we had three shortlisted designers, and one of those has been chosen today. The advice that we have taken and the work that we have done follows some very intensive research from the RAND Corporation on how best to arrange shipbuilding in Australia, naval shipbuilding in Australia, to reduce those premiums, to reduce those overheads. By identifying Osborne in South Australia and Henderson in Western Australia as the two key naval shipbuilding yards, we are doing exactly that. So, in fact, the premium that had previously been the case where we had a stop-start approach to shipbuilding, where we were not growing our own native shipbuilding workforce and skills capacity and making sure we had a national enterprise attached to this process, that was a significant part of the cost. We are avoiding that by the plan that we are working to, our naval shipbuilding plan. And all of the work that we are doing is within the cost structures set out in the Integrated Investment Program.
How solid is this figure of 1,000 jobs that will flow from this project? What modelling is that based on?
Well, that is based on the amount of workers that are required to build the sorts of vessels that we're talking about, the offshore patrol vessels, and the assessments of work that will come to associated industries in the supply chain and so on. And again, that is an approach that we have taken in examining those numbers through the work that RAND did for government to look at how best to streamline the naval shipbuilding process in Australia. One of the things that we have been very clear about is that in our acquisition of what will ultimately be 54 vessels across four different platforms, we want to ensure that we have a sovereign shipbuilding capability in Australia with Australians, by Australians, and that is our absolute focus. For me, of course, the most significant focus is capability for the Navy as well, and that is a particularly important aspect of today's announcement because it really is a significant step forward for capability for the Navy.
Why is the shipbuilding split over two yards, one in South Australia and one in Western Australia? Is this a political decision?
Well, again, we made these announcements in April of last year, and we indicated that what we wanted to make sure that we could do was to start with the workers who are existing in Adelaide, who have been working on the Air Warfare Destroyer program as we commence the offshore patrol vessels with a cutting of steel next year in 2018. Then as we move through that process, we are committed to cutting steel on the Future Frigate program in South Australia in 2020. To facilitate that, to enable that, to make sure that we can manage both of those programs, and the Future Frigate program is a $35 billion program, we will transfer the build from South Australia to the Henderson shipyards in Western Australia. So that is ensuring that we have, as I think I said in my previous remarks, a capacity to build our major warfighting vessels in South Australia and our minor vessels in Western Australia, that we have highly skilled, highly trained, highly competent Australian workers in both of those locations delivering the sort of capability we need for the Royal Australian Navy.
One of the big issues in defence contracting has been cost blowouts. The contract is worth $3.5 billion. What provision is in the contract to prevent that amount blowing out?
Well, these are ships, vessels, which are a known design, as it were. They are vessels that that Luerssen has built previously, and we know them well. One of the reasons that they were chosen is because of exactly that. They have a proven steel hulls design that is already in service. So in using that as the platform for the offshore patrol vessels, we know exactly what we're dealing with, and that will add, that will assist considerably in managing costs. I recognise that historically, defence has been criticised from time to time for those sorts of issues. But I think what we did with the Defence White Paper and with the Integrated Investment Program that underpins that is to set out a very careful set of plans for how we will approach these acquisitions and to make sure we do manage those issues. We manage time frame, we manage cost, and most importantly, we manage the delivery of the capability to the Navy.
So can you guarantee that not a dollar more than that $3.5 billion will be spent?
That is my absolute aim, yes.
An aim is different to a guarantee.
Well, I'd hope to spend less.
How are you going to spend less?
Well, I mean, part of this process is making sure that as each vessel comes online, you find that vessel 9 costs less to produce than vessel 1. And that is something that is part of shipbuilding. But certainly we have an envelope within which to work, and that is the envelope we will use.
And you won't use a cent more?
I don't intend to, no.
Just on another issue, and it was yesterday's big issue on the foreign policy white paper that was released yesterday, it addresses the South China Sea issue. In response, the Chinese foreign ministry said, "We urge the Australian side to honour its commitment and stop irresponsible remarks in relation to the South China Sea issue and the way it was articulated in the white paper." How are you going to handle this issue going forward? Because China doesn't seem to care about what Australia thinks about the rule of law.
Well, we certainly care about the rule of law, and we have been crystal clear in terms of our focus on the operation of the rules-based global order, ensuring that what we do is in accord with international law and the global norms. We've been very clear about maintaining, for example, our rights to freedom of navigation and freedom of overflight in accordance with international law, and we've prosecuted that case quite strongly, whether it's the Foreign Minister or the Prime Minister or myself. What we have said in the Foreign Policy White Paper, for which I might say I commend the Foreign Minister and the Trade Minister for the work that has been done in putting it together. What we said in that white paper is we recognise that there are critical efforts and critical actions underway to build a close and cooperative relationship with China across a range of common interests. We have a very important economic relationship, but that doesn't mean that we won't be clear about differences when they emerge, and there are differences in relation to the South China Sea. China has an extraordinary opportunity at this point to use its growing influence to ensure both the ongoing stability and prosperity of our region.
Just on a very big political story at the moment, and that's cabinet leaks, do you support an investigation into cabinet leaks?
I don't talk about cabinet
I'm not asking you to talk about what happened in context, but outside, because it's leaking.
I don't comment on the activities of cabinet. I am a very strict observer of the cabinet rule, and I don't intend to change that.
Do you wish your colleagues were just as strict as you, observing the rules?
I'm not going to make any comment about that.
But it's embarrassing, isn't it, for the government that the cabinet's leaking?
I'm not going to make any comment about that. I've been very careful in all of my political life not to make comments about the operation of internal parliamentary processes, and I don't intend to start now.
Just finally, the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton, has been talking about the transfer from Manus Island, the detention centre of those refugees, to the Loringau site. But he says refugee advocates have been giving asylum seekers false hope. Is that true?
Well, Australia has been very clear when the time came on the 31st of October for the facility itself on Manus to close that we had worked with Papua New Guinea to establish alternate facilities. It is disappointing that it has taken some time for, I think, the majority of those people to move, but I understand that today, from media reports that I have seen, that they have done that. Now, in East Loringau and West Loringau and the other locations, there are provisions there for those individuals who are still in New Guinea. I think the outcome is the one which both Australia and New Guinea hoped to see, and I hope that we can move on from that now.
Why not send some of these asylum seekers to New Zealand to try and resettle it and put this issue to bed?
Well, I think the approach that the Australian government has taken, and one which the Prime Minister reinforced this morning in his public comments, is to ensure that we don't open any chink in the armour which might give people, smugglers, a view that there is an opportunity to take advantage of either Australia or New Zealand or any other governments in that regard. We don't intend to step away from the approach that we've taken, and we've been very consistent about that.
Maurice Payne, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Defence Minister, Maurice Payne, and this is RN Drive. 0418 226 576 is the text line. You can tweet us also using the hashtag RN Drive. A pretty strong press statement too from Peter Dutton this afternoon, saying that this New Zealand arrangement would not be used by Australia. Of course, New Zealand has offered 150 places to these asylum seekers that have been moved today. 0418 226 576.